I've got the privilege today of talking on Easter Sunday, and it is a real joy. This is lovely. This is a day, and I remember growing up, the vicar at my church explained that actually Easter is bigger than Christmas. And as a child, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't. That'd be silly. It's not as pretty. You don't get presents. And then he kind of went into the detail of actually what Christmas means and the joy of it, the joy of the baby Jesus and the hope. But then actually what Easter means and the depth and the real passion behind what happened at Easter. And it is a joy to stand here in front of you. So thank you for this opportunity, really. And I wanted to call this today Hope and Go. And it linked with when Chris said, do you want to do the preach on Sunday, on Easter Sunday? Yeah, go on then. And then a few weeks later, he said, well, what our plan is to not be here the week after. And I thought, okay, fair enough. That's something to lead into. So I've been praying on this and building on it and just thinking, okay, God, what do you want to say to the church? What do you want to say to us as a people, as individuals, as a group? And I just want to come back to this incredible day, this whole Easter Day thing that is incredible after something really, really rotten on Friday. Now, those of us who know the Easter story know that on Friday, it wasn't good. That Jesus, all those years ago, was taken, arrested, beaten, humiliated, tortured, and then killed. And then very efficiently killed. And in previous Sundays at Easter time, I've said, oh, you know, the whole, did he die? Was that? I'm not going into that today. We're going to take it as read that Jesus was killed on Good Friday. He died and was put in a tomb. That's what we understand. That's the physical thing. The spiritual side of it, why he chose to do that, is through love. Because Jesus knew he had a mission. The mission was for us, for people forever, in all time, that Jesus came to die so that we didn't have to. Because years before, there had to be a sacrifice. If people did bad things, if people did those sins, there had to be a sacrifice. And Jesus said, I will be that sacrifice. I will stand in that place so you don't have to die. And that's an amazing thing, but it needed death. And death in this situation can never be a happy, happy, joy, joy thing. The death had to be serious. It had to be final. It had to be absolute. And so on Good Friday, there was that death. And it's terrible. And we look at it and we think, this is bad. This is low. But it's followed by Sunday. And Sunday's incredible. And Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. And I can't explain it. I can't give you the science behind that. I just know that on Sunday, we are told there's an empty tomb. That on Sunday, Jesus wasn't in the tomb. That when people went to look for him, it was empty. Whether there were cloths lying there, whether there was an angel sat on the stone, whether there were these two bodies of Roman soldiers incapacitated in the front, I don't know. All I know is that Jesus wasn't in the tomb. And that's amazing. The disciples didn't take the body. No, no, no. The Romans didn't hide the body. No, no. All of that business. No. Jesus wasn't in the tomb. And it was a show of victory. It was a show of victory that God has power even over death. That's something else. Death is final. Death is absolute. I step on a bug. That bug is not coming back. But Jesus did come back. Jesus is alive today because of that one. I'm going to keep referring to it as a Sunday. I don't know what day of the week it was. Because of Easter Sunday, all those years ago, Jesus is alive today. And as I was thinking about this, I began to think, okay, so where was Jesus? On that Easter Sunday, on Easter Day, where was Jesus? And we've got some stories that Jesus, yeah, he met in the garden. He met the ladies in the garden, so he had a bit of a wander around with the flowers in the early morning. He made a barbecue on the beach for the disciples. They were in their boats. He cooked some fish on the beach for them, met with them again. And at some point during the day, he probably had a bit of a wander with some other people to a place called Emmaus. They weren't aware of it. Look it up. This is awesome. But where was Jesus? I also like to think, and this is me extrapolating now. Don't go looking in the Bible for this. But I'd like to think that he went where the people were. I'd like to think that Jesus went and met with people. That he wasn't in that tomb. Jesus did not sit in that tomb and wait for people to come and find him and go, oh, check it out. It's Jesus. Nice to see you again. It's been a while. Jesus didn't stay there. He went out. And like I said, it's conjecture. I think he probably, knowing the Jesus I know from the Bible, he went and met people. He went and found people. And that's an amazing thing. To go and show I'm alive, but also because that's what he needed to do. Because Jesus wanted to be around people. The victory of the cross came for people. He came for us. And so, of course, he went to find those people. And I'd like to think that if this was today, Jesus would also be around people. If today was that amazing, glorious Easter day when Jesus had risen from the dead, Jesus would be around people. And I've put pictures of Chris Road up. Because next week, like Chris has just explained, we're being asked to go out, to not be in here, to not sit in an empty room, which is going to be covered in building work, and that wouldn't be fun. It's to get out into the community around the church. And my mum, when I was explaining this to my mum earlier in the week, she reminded me of a story by Adrian Plass, the writer, humorous Christian writer. If you've never read it, I recommend some Adrian Plass to you. Because he wrote a story, he told a story of how if Jesus came back, people put on these church meetings and they were a bit cross that he wasn't turning up to the church meeting. Where was Jesus when, you know, we put on biscuits and coffee, and of course Jesus wouldn't be there. He might pop in and say hello, thanks and all that sort of thing, but I think Jesus would be out with other people. He'd be out doing what he always did. So I'd like to think that Jesus would be in the pub. I think in the 21st century, Jesus would be sat in the pub. He'd be sat in the corner nursing a pint, having a chat to the people around him. Hearing the woes, hearing the stories, listening to people. Would he be going shopping on a Sunday? Probably. We can't go shopping on a Sunday. Why not? That's where the people are. Jesus would be walking around the shops, talking to people. Obviously, we have to think of the day of rest. There is the commandment that says, have a day of rest. I don't ignore that. But I think Jesus would be out where the people would be. Would he be in the pub at 11 o'clock in the morning? Probably. Why not? He'd be there because there are people in there. He'd be there to talk to the people who needed to hear him. Okay, so what would he say? So what would be Jesus? Jesus would be quoting scripture at them and he'd be prophesying damnation. No, I don't think so. I don't think he would be. I think he'd be listening to them. I think he'd be getting alongside them and saying, how's it going? What's going on with you? How are your family? How's your mum? She went very well. Is she okay? Jesus would be there in the heart of the people. I think he'd be telling jokes. I think he'd be reminding them of the wonders of who they are. The things that have been amazing in their life. He'd be opening up their lives to them. Yeah, he'd probably drop some scripture in there, but whether they knew about that or not, I don't know. But he wouldn't be forcing it down their throats. He wouldn't be rebuking. He'd be maybe directing people in the right direction, but it wouldn't be harsh. That's the Jesus I think would be out there today. And who would he be mixing with? Would he be mixing with the MPs and the councillors and the celebrities and the intellectuals and the people who we see on the news and on the TV and we revere and we say, oh yeah, those are the important people? I don't know. Yeah, probably. They would definitely do with having a chat with Jesus, I think. But I also think he'd be chatting to us, to you and me, the ordinary people. And perhaps those people who we don't think are very ordinary. The ones who we kind of walk by and we pray for, the ones who we look at and we pity. Those people, Jesus would be coming alongside those people. He'd be sat on the street with the guy with the pot begging. He'd be having a chat to the people in the queue for the dole office. Jesus would be there with the people. That's what I think. And please challenge me. If you think, no, you're wrong afterwards, please do come and challenge me. I'd accept that. I think Jesus would be looking for the lonely and the depressed and the lost. And I think that because he'd been there. Because on that Good Friday, he had been lonely. And he'd been depressed. And he'd been lost. And he'd been rejected by God. He'd been there. And he could speak, not from a point of view of, oh, I can imagine what that would be like. But actually, I know what that's like. I know how you feel. I know God loves you. And God can give you comfort. I know that this isn't the end, that there is hope. Jesus would be sharing a message of hope to families, to students, to everyday people, as well as the intellectuals and celebrities who need Jesus in their lives. Of course they do. And so I was thinking about this, and I found people on Woodville Road, Carus Road. Let's not ignore Woodville Road. That's still Cattays as well, and Cattays Terrace, and all the ones in between. But we tend to focus on Carus Road, don't we? It's because Chris's favourite cafes are there. I thought, okay, let's look for some statistics. I like a bit of stats. I work in a school where data is king, and let's have a look at some statistics. So I've had to go back to the 2001 census, and Cattays, do you realise that Cattays has a residential population in 2011 of 20,121 persons? People, I guess. That's nearly 6% of the total of Cardiff. Okay? Next stat, please, Tim. Okay, so that's broken down into 17,500 people in private households and 2,500 people in communal establishments. So rented accommodation, I'm guessing. Okay, so we can think that's nearly 3,000 students just in Cattays. Not Cardiff, this is Cattays. Those are the people who are outside the doors. Those are the people who we walk around with and meet and sit in the cafes and the pubs with. Next one, please, Tim. And now that I like these, that Cattays covers 0.8% of Cardiff. So it's not quite 1% of the total area of Cardiff, but it's got a population density of 60.2 people per hectare. I don't know what a hectare is. I don't know, but I'd like to think it's a kind of medium-sized area. Yeah, am I right? Yeah, no, shame. The average for Cardiff is 24.7, and that's what got me. That the people outside there in Cattays, the density of people in Cattays is much higher. Much higher than other areas. So we are surrounded by people. This church is a fantastic place in the middle of an area of densely populated people. What a joy. Do I recognize actually that is a joy? That we've got children and students and grown-ups and old people and families and single people and lonely people and excited people who are just buzzing to be here and living life. That's what we're surrounded with. Was there another statistic, Tim, or was that it? No. On to the Bible. Because I love the idea that Jesus would be here in the middle of all of those people. Yeah, he would be out in the countryside, don't get me wrong. He would go for a lovely walk in the vale. And he'd have a walk through the fields and think this is pretty and God's created an amazing earth. But I also think Jesus would be in the middle of these people. And that led me to thinking, actually, could you go back a second? I don't want to get to the Bible just yet. Because I did want to think that was 2011, 5 years ago. How do you think Cardiff's changed in 5 years? Has it grown? Do you think Cattays itself has grown in population? I think sometimes there are more students. Some of the houses might have changed from being those residential properties into communal properties. I think we've probably got a denser population. We definitely, I would say, we are growing in diversity. You walk down through the streets of Cardiff and the diversity of Cattays is changing. People coming from different backgrounds, people coming from different places. Is it a richer or poorer area? I don't know. Is it more or less filled with hope, this area? Are the people of Cattays more or less hopeful for what's going on in their lives? I don't know. But we've got an opportunity next week to get out there. And that's the exciting thing. We have an opportunity to not sit here. Hello, beauty. To not sit here and make these conjectures to think, what if, but actually to get out there and sit in a cafe and chat to some people. Chat to our friends, obviously, who are going to be sat there. I'm going to sit with my house group and I'm going to catch up with people about what's going on in their lives. But also maybe want to have a chat to somebody else. Talk to somebody I don't know. Maybe, scary thought, maybe share the gospel with somebody. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Whoa. Fills me with a bit of a... The word used was trepidation, Chris. I like that word. It's not fear. I don't want to go out with fear. It's that trepidation of that kind of feeling. You're about to climb a mountain.
Go for it.
Yeah, that kind of... Yeah. That trepidation, that's how I want to feel next week. Not fearful to kind of sit there and go, well, I'm not going to move. I'm just going to talk to my friends. And this. But actually to sit there and go, okay, God, what do you want us to do? Who do you want me to talk to? And I think it's important we do this from the right point of view, that we're not patronizing. We're not going out there to fix Cattays. We're not going out there heading out to say, we've got the answer, Cattays. Come and find us. We know everything. We are the solution to Cattays. That would be awful. That would be truly terrible, and that would not be, I think, what Chris's vision for this is, what God's vision for this is. Let's go beyond Chris, shall we? And let's not be scary to them or of them, of people out there. Let's go out accepting that this is the community, the world we live in, and it's fantastic, and it's exciting. It's filled with people like us and filled with people not like us. And that's great. And I think we need to learn something about the area we're serving. Perhaps find new establishments, find new communities, and not know what is around. Prayer walking around a street you've never been to and think, I did not know this was here. I did not know this building, this area existed. How exciting that we've got the opportunity. So definitely next week is not a week off. It's a week to get into the community and really almost put into practice what we do on a Sunday to get in there and say, okay, God, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? Who do you want us to speak to? And now I want to come to the Bible, that whole command that Jesus gave us. The Great Commission. That before Jesus returned to heaven, he did say, okay, I'm going to read this. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That bit stood out to me when I was reading this. Some doubted that Jesus was there. So people didn't see Jesus and immediately fall away going, oh, everything's great. Some people, even at that point, still had doubts. I think that's okay. That's reassuring for me. In the Bible, people had doubts. People weren't secure. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a message of hope. What a message of absolute hope. That yes, we are commanded to get out there, to not be sat in our little church and be happy and content that we're chatting to the same people we see week in, week out, and our friends. Which is lovely. Don't get me wrong. I love this church. I've been here for so many years now. This is my church family. I love it. But this isn't where we're supposed to be. It's like one of those dry docks. You know, the ship that is in a dry dock isn't supposed to be there. That's not what a ship is built for. It's safe there. It can be worked on there. But that's not where a ship is supposed to be. It's supposed to be out in the ocean where there's stuff going on, where it's useful. We are not supposed to be here. Jesus was not supposed to be sat in that empty tomb. We're supposed to be out there. We're supposed to be mixing with people. Yes, there are people in here who are hurting, who need us. We need to be here for one another. We need to love each other. Absolutely. But there are people out there who are hurting who don't know Jesus. And it's our job, our responsibility, to get out there and share some of that. The bits that have stood out for me then are, therefore go. Not, therefore sit and wait for people to come to you because I'm sending them to you. Not, therefore, just wait a second because, you know, people will come to you if you wait for the next 10 years. You'll have a much bigger church. No, therefore, go and make disciples of people. And surely I am with you always. God doesn't want us to do this by ourselves. I would be awful, rubbish, terrible at going out there by myself, sitting in a cafe and saying, hi, God loves you. I would be fearful. But to know that I'm going there with a group of my church friends, going there with God by himself, trusting that actually God's going to send me to the people he wants me to talk to. God's going to put the people in that cafe on that morning who need to hear his message. How exciting. And how exciting that this is day one of maybe lots and lots more to go. It doesn't have to be a Sunday. It could be a Saturday. It could be a Friday. It could be a Tuesday afternoon. Women walking on a Friday, you could be on a mountain chatting to the ladies coming the other direction who need to hear that message. How exciting that this is the start, hopefully. I can see this snowballing. How exciting. There's also something to be accountable for each other, I guess. I wasn't going to go on there, but exciting. And I want to share a bit about why I'm here. We were chatting about this and sharing the gospel message, and there may well be people out there who don't know what's going on, who don't really understand Jesus and need to. And I would say that I've been a Christian since 1999. I was on a beach in the Isle of Wight. And I went there as a Sunday school helper because there's something called a beach mission. And I signed up for it thinking, this will be fun. I can be on a beach during the summer, have a nice time, maybe have a swim in the sea, meet some fun people. And within 24 hours, I felt like a fraud. I felt like a fraud because I was turning up and I thought, I'm not actually a Christian. These people have a relationship with Jesus that I don't have. I know the stuff. It's all in my head. I've been reading the Bible since I was little. I've been saying prayers. And I got very scared and I thought, oh, this is not good. I'm going to be seen as a fraud. I'm going to be kicked out of this beach mission. And little did I know, there was a guy called Simon there who was praying for me constantly. He had met me early on and he recognized that there was something not right. And that was something special because, yeah, within 24 hours, I was a broken man. I'd had a lovely day on the beach with the kids telling stories. But by the end of the day, I was crying and sobbing in a hall, not dissimilar to this. And just completely aware that actually things needed to change. And I needed to say, God, I'm sorry that actually this has all been just in my head and I haven't actually acted on this. And this relationship I have with you needs to be deeper, needs to be more. I'm sorry that I've hurt people around me, really close friends, my family. I'd hurt them through my actions, through what I'd done. I needed to turn to them and say, look, I'm really sorry. Turn to them and turn to God and say, I'm sorry. And then I needed to say, I need you in my life. I need you not just as a story that I've been learning for years, but actually as a close friend, as somebody closer than a friend, closer than my family. I need that in my life. I need you. I need that hope for the future that I'm going to go into, knowing that you've gone into it before me, that I'm not on my own. The next 2 weeks I spent on that beach mission were amazing. I shared the gospel. I shared stories of Jesus like never before. It wasn't just a story like telling a story. It was, my goodness, this is real. This is what's happened to me. And it was amazing. And that message that we carry is important. It has power. Every single Christian you ever meet is going to have a different story. Some people, it's been a very gradual thing ever since they've been little tiny children. They've known Jesus and their relationship has grown closer. How exciting. And some people, it's a big bang, crash thing of, wow, I didn't know that was happening. And now it's happening. And now I'm in a relationship with God and it's incredible. I'm really glad there's not a sign because I realize I'm talking quickly now. How awesome is this that we can be in relationship with God, who on that Good Friday sacrificed everything, on Sunday rose from the dead and is alive today, and we have an opportunity to share that. It doesn't matter if you are one of the little people or one of the big people, if you've been a Christian for a week or if you've been a Christian for 2 decades, it doesn't matter. God wants us to go out and go to people and share this message, a message of hope, a message of joy, a message that he loves them unconditionally. That they don't have to do anything but come to him and recognize who he is. Easter is awesome, isn't it? Christmas is great, but Easter is just brilliant. I just want to pray to finish. I want to say, God, thank you that today we are here and we are here because of you. We are here because you are alive. You died and you got that victory of a death for all of us forever. And you are alive and we can put our hope in you, a hope of eternity, a hope that we are not on our own. Send us out boldly, out of the doors today, but out next week, to boldly sit in a cafe, to boldly sit in a pub and to chat to people. Put people in our way who need to hear your voice and give us the words to say. Thank you, Jesus, that you are awesome. You are the only one who deserves that title. Amen.
Thank you so much.